Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's current sports. We're back live. That's right. It is September 27th, 2017. I'm back from Jamaica, man. It was a fun time, I must say, but I tell you what, I leave the mic for, what, 3-4 days, and just sports news just decides to just take another level, take off to another level. So we've got a lot to talk about on today's show. And I tell you what, the foundation of today's show will be centered on some breaking news that I'm sure many of you sports fans out there have been following. News concerning the FBI college basketball investigation, specifically as it pertains to the Louisville men's basketball program. Head coach Rick Pitino is officially out. Kaput. No longer will he serve as the head coach of the Louisville Cardinal men's basketball program. We'll go into the details of this investigation because there is a ton to unpack, so much so that we will invite a man who knows a thing or two about the college basketball world, that being Deshaun Tate, college basketball reporter and host at 92.9 The Game, CBS Radio in Atlanta. And you know what? I'm getting word right now from our engineer Isaac Constance that we do have coverage from the University of Louisville press conference concerning the firing of Rick Pitino. That news conference is just now underway. Isaac is working on a stream. Do we have that right now? So you know what? I want to start the show a bit different. Instead of going to our usual quick hit headliners, I want to start this conversation concerning Louisville because, again, there is a ton to unpack as it pertains to this story. Here is live coverage of the press conference right now.
We'll take just a few questions.
Dr. Postma, who was the player?
The no names were provided in the criminal complaint, and so it would be inappropriate at this point for us to embellish the report as submitted to us by the U.S. Attorney's Office. There are different employers for the two individuals. They have different contracts. And our goal in all processes is to honor the contracts of our employees and to honor the university's HR policies.
Dr. Postma, who will run the program, the basketball program today? Who is running it as we speak?
As I indicated, we will be making that decision today and tomorrow, and we'll have an announcement this week about interim leadership positions.
Dr. Postma, the larger picture, what are you going to do with the university, the arena, the NCAA sanctions? Do you think there will be any ramifications happening with the death penalty?
You know, I don't think it's appropriate to speculate about those things. All I can tell you is that the University of Louisville is fully committed to transparency and to working with law enforcement, to working with the NCAA. We've done that all along in the issues we've been dealing with so far with the NCAA. So we will continue to cooperate and work with them through this process. I don't think we can speculate. Well, it bothers me a great deal, but I can't speculate at this point on what that means. Yeah. There'll be a discussion about that in conjunction with the criminal complaint that we have received, and announcements regarding the potential for other individuals will be made by the interim athletics director. I'm sorry. I'm
sorry. Why an administrative leave and not an outright dismissal?
Well, so this is a typical way that universities deal with a situation where there is an ongoing criminal investigation. The criminal investigation is not complete, and individuals at this institution have not been formally charged. So this is a typical response to that type of circumstance.
The unpaid leave for Coach Pitino suggests a greater severity here. Why that?
That could be your interpretation. Again, I'm just indicating that we are following our personnel policies and the individual's contracts. I have no way to know that. We have not been notified of such by the FBI or by the U.S. Attorney's Office.
Do you contact every individual, either Coach Pitino or Mr. Jewish, to return to their duties?
As an individual on an administrative leave, they are not able to function in their current roles during that period of administrative leave.
What contact has the school had with the NCAA since this news broke yesterday?
We notified them yesterday. And that was all that was necessary at this point. I'm sure there will be future conversations.
Will the school conduct its own investigation, considering there are two coaches alleged to be involved?
We're seeking advice as to the appropriate way to do that. We want to make sure that anything we do is not against the policies of the U.S. Attorney's Office. And so we're seeking guidance about the appropriate way for us to look into this matter in parallel to their investigation. I think that's a hard thing to do because as we go forward, information will be forthcoming about the investigation. We'll be learning more in the days and weeks ahead, and that will help inform future decision making. We believe they have. They have not made direct contact with our office, but we understand they have been on campus. That was not a discussion that took place.
Dr. Postol, I'm curious, your initial reaction when you found the news, anger, embarrassment, just where did you come from when you learned that all this occurred?
I would say that I was more angry than embarrassed. Obviously, embarrassment is part of it as well. But I think people who have watched what the University of Louisville has been busy doing in calendar year 2017 will understand that we have been working day and night, committed to make sure this place is a wonderful place for our students and our faculty and staff, and we're making a tremendous amount of progress. And when something like this happens, it makes me angry that we have more work to do to get where we're going to get. It's not going to prevent us from getting where we want to get, but it's another stumbling block, and yes, I was angry about it. I have not had a chance to do so yet. We're just working through the details of this as it's a actively emerging story.
Are you guys aware of the names of the assistant coaches that were also mentioned in the indictment?
I can't embellish on the criminal complaint that we have received because that's the role of the U.S. Attorney's Office to provide that level of detail.
So are you guys aware of those names of the coaches?
We have information about that, yes. I think we're looking for someone with integrity, someone with a knowledge of the support, a knowledge of the sport, someone who can have the respect of the players and help us move along. We've got talented players. That hasn't changed. And so there's no reason this team can't have a good season. An administrative leave is an administrative leave. It is not a dismissal from a permanent position. So that is one of the possible outcomes, yes.
Did another man offer to resign?
No, they did not.
Chairman Grissom, did you meet with the Board of Trustees privately to vote? You said that the Board of Trustees was unanimously behind this decision. Have you had a meeting in the last 24 hours?
We have not. I called everyone on the board within the last 24 hours to get their position on it, and these are telephonic conversations, no meeting.
What was your reaction to hearing the news? Because covering Board of Trustees meetings and foundation meetings, you knew you were starting to get out from the cloud of the situation with the foundation, and now this.
Well, I came home to my wife. I'm sorry. I came home last night and said once again to my wife, you can't make this up. So it was terrible disappointment. I really felt like we were on the trajectory that was positive and could take the university to the next level. So like Dr. Postol, I'm disappointed. There's a little bit of anger. It's not a happy day for the university.
Dr. Postol, there are several students here and watching, and they want to see leadership from you in this moment. And a lot of them said that leadership means cleaning house. What do you say to those students?
Well, I think it should be obvious that that's what we're doing. I mean, we've taken an action sufficient to bring a whole room full of media people together to make a very clear statement that we're not going to tolerate what we have learned about. So my answer to them would be we are doing everything in an appropriate way and will continue to do so as we learn more about the situation.
Live coverage from the press conference at Louisville concerning breaking news, and now I guess you can label him former head coach of the Louisville men's basketball program, Rick Pitino, and athletic director Tom Jurek, both out at Louisville. This is news that has sent shockwaves throughout the sporting world dating back to yesterday, and I briefly, before I give my take on this, I want to throw out all the facts on the table. So what you all need to know concerning this investigation is that the United States Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York announced federal corruption charges against four NCAA assistant basketball coaches on Tuesday. Now, it was a three-year FBI probe that primarily focused on coaches being paid tens of thousands of dollars to steer players who are bound to the NBA towards sporting agents, financial advisors, and apparel companies as well. Now, the charges, under the first group of charges, the United States attorney is alleging that assistant coaches, again, at Arizona, Auburn, Oklahoma State, and USC took cash bribes in order to steer elite basketball prospects toward financial advisors and sports agents. Now, the assistants named in the investigation so far are Chuck Person of Auburn, Emmanuel Richardson of Arizona, Lamont Evans of Oklahoma State, Tony Bland of USC. Now, each of those coaches are being charged with bribery, conspiracy, solicitation of bribes, honest services fraud, conspiracy, honest service fraud, conspiracy to commit wire fraud, and travel act conspiracy. Very serious stuff. Also, a name by the name of Marty Blazer has also come out. Marty Blazer, get familiar with this name. His real name is Lewis Martin, or Marty Blazer III. He is the witness who cooperated with the FBI in this investigation of the coaches and other defendants. And I personally believe that as this investigation comes out and the FBI is warned that, hey, better you call us than have us call you. If you feel like there's any wrongdoing done with your program, let us know now or else this could get really bad. So I believe there's going to be multiple coaches out there and personnel that are going to flip on certain coaches. We don't know who specifically is going to be named in this report as it moves on. But again, I think this is just a really dark day when it comes to the NCAA, when it comes to men's college basketball, because there's a lot of coaches across this country right now when looking at this FBI investigation that are a bit uneasy. Now, when it comes to the scope, get this. The documents filed by prosecutors allege that the family of a, quote, player 10, end quote, former ESPN 100 recruit, Brian Bowen. Now, for MSU men's basketball fans, that name should ring a bell because Brian Bowen was being recruited by Tom Izzo and the Michigan State men's basketball program. It's being said that he was to receive $100,000 from the, quote, sportswear company, end quote. Now, the government also charges that Person received $91,500 from sports agents and or financial advisors, of which he said to have forwarded $18,500 of that money to players and their families. So, again, and as the report goes on more and more, You know, and the question has been asked multiple times, you know, could other programs or individuals face charges? Yes, because this investigation is ongoing. And as I mentioned, there's an FBI spokesperson who at Tuesday's news conference warned of others who could be involved in those corrupt practices. And when it comes to other questions, I'm going to wait later on this hour as we invite Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio down in Atlanta. He's a college basketball reporter, columnist down in the ATL, and he has been following the story since it broke yesterday. We'll dive into more specifics when we get to him, but just the immediate reaction of when I saw or heard that the Louisville men's basketball program was involved in this story, wasn't surprised. I mean, let's be real here. This is Rick Pitino, who has had and been involved with two other pretty serious scandals. You could go back to when Pitino actually was found to have been cheating on his wife with a member of the Louisville staff. That was a situation that hasn't been brought up because, again, it happened a while ago. And, you know, back in 2009, you know, it was basically a target of an extortion attempt, which a young woman, I actually should say the wife of a Louisville equipment manager, Tim Cypher at the time, was arraigned and charged in U.S. District Court with extortion and lying to federal agents. So on August 11th of that year, Pitino admitted to having engaged in sexual relations with this woman by the name of Karen Cypher, who was married also at the time. On August 1st of 2003, in a Louisville restaurant. Several weeks later, Karen told Pitino that she was pregnant and wanted to have an abortion. She did not have health insurance. Pitino paid her $3,000 for an abortion. During the trial, Pitino kind of downplayed what happened in the restaurant. But that was a big scandal that hit. And then not too long ago, you know, we talked about this story in extensive length as it pertained to Katina Powell, who was an escort at the time, who did a whole Outside the Lines feature on ESPN in which she told and had documents from the very start of her time working with Louisville and assistant coaches there, in which she would basically hire her team of strippers to come over to a dorm room on campus and not only perform, but also engage in sexual acts. And that led to a suspension for the Louisville men's basketball program. But three strikes, you're out. You know, you see the evidence that's on the table right now as it pertains to Rick Pitino, and the university said that's it. Rick Pitino is no longer the men's basketball coach at Louisville. I want to play in just a moment a bite from Dick Vitale, who was very emotional yesterday upon hearing this news. Of course, Dickie V has been a longtime men's college basketball analyst on ESPN. We're going to use that as our intro later on in the show, Isaac, so just keep that on hand. But when putting in perspective a scandal of this magnitude, you know, it's one that, when it pertains to college sports, we've talked about multiple times, and it's one that has crossed the mind as it pertains to big-time recruits deciding to go to certain colleges due to certain reasons. And I think that the maker of this documentary should be probably paying me, Isaac, because I bring it up all the time. I didn't know how much the AA, you know where I'm going with this, At All Cost on Netflix. If you have not seen it, At All Cost, please watch it because it enlightened me on multiple areas as it pertains to the recruiting cycle here in America. AAU is big time now, more so than high school sports. What happens is these AAU teams, the big AAU teams, are being sponsored by apparel companies such as Adidas, Nike, Under Armour, and coaches for these AAU programs are getting paid based on the success of that program and being paid not just in cash, but also when it comes to that respective endorsement. So let's say if you have a successful AAU team, Adidas may see that and Adidas will say, hey, We'll pay you some money if you keep up the success and can put our apparel on some of the big-time recruits here in America. Well, eventually those big-time recruits become seniors in high school and decide to make a decision on where they want to go to college. And then those AAU coaches become the middleman, if you will, in talking to, you know, some of the biggest college basketball coaches in the nation. And what we're finding out in this report, in this investigation with the FBI, that, again, is in the preliminary stages, looks like Adidas was involved in a situation concerning Louisville prospect, well, now player, Brian Bowen, who, again, Isaac, we talked about this with Brian Bowen. I mean, Brian Bowen was making his college decision. It looked like Michigan State wasn't even in the, well, I should say Louisville wasn't even in the mix at the time. I believe it came down to, believe, Arizona and MSU.
It did.
And then MSU kind of pulled out, and it looked, I thought he was going to go to AZ, and then all of a sudden, boom, I'm going to Louisville. And we're sitting there saying Louisville wasn't even a part of the recruiting process. Well, I tell you what, if I'm a young pup and I'm one of the best players in the nation, if somebody is offering me $100,000 to go to their program and play basketball, I'm going to Louisville as well, right? That's against the rules, though. That can't happen. But this investigation is going to shed shockwaves because I think it's going to unravel how there are multiple programs that have been engaging in this kind of activity for a long time, and it's just now hitting the fan. And then we have this conversation, you know, okay, I don't know, and I don't believe that you can fault the recruit in this conversation, Isaac. If I'm a young recruit, and especially some of these kids who come from these horrible backgrounds, right, broken homes, come from poverty, if a college coach or an assistant coach is coming through my door and says, Al, you're a five-star recruit, we want you to come to our program, here's $100,000, I would have to be a complete idiot not to take that money. What it comes down to is the moral integrity and the moral character of college basketball coaches out there, that if a recruit says, I'm a five-star recruit, I know you want me, how much are you willing to pay for me? It comes down to that coach saying, I'm not paying you nothing. I'm sticking to the rules. Your moral compass has to be pretty high. Because also, I mean, there's so many layers to this. Because also, as a college coach, I get this as well. How are you, when your job is on the line, your job is to win basketball games, and you see this guy cheating over there and having immense success and winning, and if you're not going down that rabbit hole and cheating yourself and trying to woo big-time recruits with moolah, and you're losing and knowing that your job is on the ground, on the forefront here, it's pretty tempting not to go that route. It really is. Because if I'm not winning games, you're eventually going to get cut loose and you're eventually going to get fired. If the guy next to you is cheating, he's not getting caught and he's winning games, where do you go from there? I'm not saying it's right. And again, it takes a coach who is very, again, that moral compass, Isaac, is going to have to be very high. That coach has to really believe in his coaching abilities to mold some of the small. There's a big difference in basketball when you talk about a five-star recruit compared to a two-star recruit, right? Football is a different conversation because, again, if you get land one five-star recruit or four-star recruit, I mean, we see it with Miles Bridges here at Michigan State. Mm-hmm. One player can make such an impact on a basketball team. If you got the opportunity to get that player, it's really tough not to go. I'm just saying it's really tough not to go down that rabbit hole. I'm going to go to my next layer of this conversation in a moment as it pertains to, because we have to bring it up when having this conversation, whether or not college athletes should be paid. Because if you do that, and again, it comes into the whole conversation of cost of attendance as well, it has to be even across the board. It has to become an even playing field, because clearly with this investigation, it has not been. And it has not been for quite some time. I believe, like, you can probably go all the way back to the John Wooden days, to be honest with you. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is our number to call. We just played live coverage from the Louisville press conference that I don't know if it's still underway or not, but Greg Postal, who is the University of Louisville interim president, he just spoke. Also, J. David Grissom, who is the chairman of the Board of Trustees at the University of Louisville, he just sounded off on, again, the breaking news that Louisville men's basketball coach Rick Pitino no longer the head men's basketball coach there. And athletic director Tom Jurich also out at Louisville. What are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Isaac, I want to give you, and first off, welcome back, my man. You held it down all the way from New Orleans while I was out in Jamaica throughout the weekend and, of course, on Monday and Tuesday. But Monday you hosted the show from New Orleans. Good to see you back, my friend. Your thoughts on this story?
Yeah, good being back with you and good being back on the air. I mean, boy, there was just way too much breaking over this weekend to cover. And then you've got this coming in, too. And what a sucker punch for so many of these programs to have the FBI involved. I'm with you, and I'm happy you brought this up. You don't blame the athlete. There is one person here who is faultless, in my opinion, and that is Brian Bowen. Yes, is it against the rules, and did he know that? Sure, he did. That's why he's probably not cruising around campus in a Lamborghini right now. But at the same time, no, when you're an athlete coming from possibly an impoverished position, possibly coming from a place where you're not used to having much money, and even though you're a year away from getting it all, it's not guaranteed yet. Hoop dreams deflate. You hear that all the time, how injuries can wreck a player's career. You hear stories about guys such as, forgetting his name, what's his name? From Kansas, the player who went, he was a top five recruit and then doesn't even get drafted. You hear these sorts of stories all the time. So if you're Brian Bowen, if I'm Brian Bowen, I'm taking that cash. It's down to the program. It's down to the players. And does this all stem from the NCAA refusing to pay players in the first place? Sure, it does. But at the same time, no, you have to play by the same rules as everybody else. Mm. And when it's Rick Pitino, it's sad because, like you, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. Shocked. This is expected with Rick Pitino.
I'm going to ask the same question to Deshaun, but in having this conversation, when you saw that the FBI was holding this investigation, which coach other than Rick Pitino or coaches immediately came to mind who may be named in this investigation? I'm curious.
Calipari would be up there. Calipari would have to be number two.
I knew you were going there. I'm just want to ask it. I asked Deshaun the same thing, but yeah, that's the obvious one, right? I mean, because here's a guy. It's hard not to think it. Is it fair to the game? No.
No.
But when you see a guy who constantly gets these one-and-done prospects year after year after year, it's like, okay, well, if you see Brian Bowen taking $100,000, what is happening on out in Kentucky?
I mean, how much are you making off that jersey? A lot more than $100,000. How many wins are you getting? Yeah. A lot more than $100,000 worth.
I tell you, Louisville, there's a lot of fans out in Louisville a bit nervous right now. And I believe that there's a lot of coaches. I wouldn't be surprised if Izzo may have just, you know, had a meeting with his coaches and said, all right, have we been doing things by the books here? Are we okay? I'm pretty sure he had that meeting today, just as every single college men's basketball coach should have had that meeting this morning. Because this is a bombshell when it comes to college basketball right now. But you know what? Quick point before, I know we got some callers that are calling in right now, but you asked the question, who's to blame in this? And again, I don't blame the recruits here. I don't blame the recruits. It comes down to the coaches to nip that in the bud and say, no, I'm not paying you. I'm doing this the right way, right? But I also blame the fans. When you have a coach like Rick Pitino, who has already had two strikes, who's already cheated on his wife and had a situation with a staffer, who's already been found some wrongdoing by, you know, with this whole escort situation in a dorm room about 50 feet from your office, and you claim you didn't know anything was going wrong, But yet, as a fan of Louisville men's basketball, you still decide to support this man and his program, buy tickets, and head out there and root for your school. You are also in the wrong. Fans have to have a moral compass as well. And there has to be a line where you say, no, I'm not support. And that's why it was interesting. That's why it was interesting for me when looking at that first game for MSU football. You know, just seeing whether or not what happened in the offseason would deter any fans out there from buying season tickets and supporting a program in which something like that went down. Now, again, it's not. This isn't a, Mark D'Antonio doesn't have a history of his players being involved in sexual assault, okay? So those that still do support the program, I mean, you talk about a man with a high moral compass, Mark D'Antonio has a high moral compass. I mean, you can't control every single player, what every single player on your roster does. But if you have, I mean, just imagine if Izzo was involved with the kind of things that Pitino has been found guilty of. You think there'd still be fans here in East Lansing that would support the program? Yeah, and they would be wrong to do so. Okay, so fans also have to sit back and put things in perspective, especially when you're dealing with young men in which the coach is supposed to be the father figure for these young men. Something to think about. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When I come back, we're going to invite three other voices to the show. We also have current sports PAs Casey Harrison, as well as Jamal Tyler, who will weigh in on this Louisville situation. I see a mic from Saginaw as well. If you want to call in to be a part of the conversation, 517-355-WKAR. We'll be right back.
Dick Vitale. I think many of you over the years know how much I love college basketball. I mean, it's my heart and soul. It's been so valuable to me in my life. It's given me a life that's exceeded any dream, Hall of Fame status, etc. But let me tell you, I was crushed today. Crushed when I heard the story today with the FBI making charges against four assistant coaches, people involved, agents, shoe companies, etc. illegally. Well, let's say this. They're certainly innocent until proven guilty. But having the FBI involved and not the NCAA is a different story. This is criminal charges. And what breaks my heart, there's a cesspool that's existing in college basketball and on the scholastic level. Think about it. We have players gaining eligibility, all of a sudden reclassified and becoming unbelievable Rhodes Scholars. We have scenarios in the AAU competition. The stories are unbelievable how these AAU situations are out of hand.
We have been dedicating today's current sports to the breaking news concerning the University of Louisville men's basketball program and the entire scope of the FBI men's college basketball investigation. Rick Pitino is out at the University of Louisville. Three strikes and you're out, Rick. And this investigation, you know, as far as what happens next, the FBI is still pursuing its efforts. And multiple names, many more names will come out. In addition to those that came out yesterday as it concerns to programs and coaches who did not follow the rules in the world of recruiting. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number. Let's go to line one right now. We do have our dear caller and friend, Mike from Saginaw, that wants to weigh in. Mike, what's up?
What's up, Al? Thanks for taking my call. I was telling you... your producer before we come on. I was saying that, Brian, when I'm done with you guys, when your show is over with, I go to an elementary school in Saginaw, Michigan. I'm a school crossing guard. Mm-hmm. And you know what? He went to a school, when he was in the ninth grade, he went to a school called SASA. It's called art. It's an art school. You know how they have kids teach art and everything. You know, when he got out of that school, he come right down by where I'm standing at. He'll get off the bus every day. Every day he'll get off of it. And that's when he was just tall and lanky and skinny by then. The second year he went to Saginaw Arthur Hill, of course, you know that.
Yep,
The deal about that is I couldn't believe that after that, then he went to Lamineer and stuff. And I just can't believe. And here's another backstory, too. Christian Dawkins, the supposedly wannabe agent. He's a wannabe right now.
Okay.
He's not an authentic agent. His daddy was Lou Dawkins, that coach at Saginaw High. He was the head coach of it.
Okay.
But what he was doing is probably being a runner for the agents, the real agencies, the sneaker companies. You know, he was probably the in-between so he can deliver, the sneaker companies can deliver the player to the university, when the ones, the sneaker companies that got a deal with the colleges and universities.
Okay. So Mike, with that being said, man, what is your take on this investigation? How is this at all, if at all, changed your perception? And really briefly, we don't have much time here, but really briefly, how has this changed, if at all, your perception of the world of college men's basketball as it pertains to recruiting?
They're whores, they're pimps, and they're johns. That's how low they gotten. They're whores, they're pimps, and they're johns.
Mike from Saginaw. Mike, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Right now, live in Studio West, we have Jamal Tyler and Casey Harrison that have been waiting beside me here in studio to chime in. I'm sure chomping at the bit, listening to what has transpired in the last 24-plus hours. Casey and Jamal, first off, how you guys doing?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Good to see you guys both. We'll start with you, Casey. Your reaction to this story, and I'm pretty sure it came to mind when looking at this investigation. How much has MSU men's basketball been on your mind?
Initial reaction, not really much of a surprise. I mean, you look at the history of Rick Pitino, the things that he's been involved with in the past, and it really doesn't come to much of a shocker. Initially, I think the problem goes much deeper than this. I mean, I think we're just at the tip of the iceberg, and I think in the days, the weeks, maybe even the months to follow, I mean, this is going to get a whole lot bigger. It almost kind of reminds me of the MLB PED drug bust mid-2000s, where just hundreds of names were kind of leaked out. Because, you know, college sports are big time and there's big money associated with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of brings you to what's going on here. Are we doing things the right way? Is Michigan State, is Michigan, all of these local schools, are they doing things the right way?
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably good now that Pitino didn't take that job at Michigan. I mean, I saw that floating around on Twitter yesterday. And I think you're right. I really think that Izzo probably sat down with his staff to make sure they're all on the same page.
I'm sure.
Because I think every blue blood program, every program that's been relevant in the last 5-10 years is probably going to get a call.
Right.
And I'm sure investigators have been poking into it, whether we know about it or not. But
yeah, I'm sure Izzo is sitting down there with his, you know, with his staff and his compliance officer, just kind of going through and making sure. Because let's be real here, when it comes to the NCAA, some of the rules are just so picky and so minuscule. But when it comes to paying players, I mean, you know you're in the wrong when you're doing that.
It's a line in the sand.
There's a line. Yeah, there's a clear line. So, Jamal, for you, just your thoughts on this story as it pertains to the game. And I'll ask you the same question I asked Mike from Saginaw. Has this changed your perception of college basketball, or finally the elephant in the room has come out?
Yes, I feel like it has changed my perception a little bit because, mm-hmm. like, growing up, I looked at, like, the Roy Williams and the Tom Izzos and the Coach K's. It's like the real good coaches, like the father figures.
Right.
And also Rick Pitino up until, like, his scandal start hitting home. So now it feels like almost like when the recruiting process is going, mm-hmm. a lot of players are going to be looking at that, especially if you have, like, a strong upbringing. It will help you out because your parents are going to be like, oh, no, you're not going there.
Right.
But then, like, if you're coming from a broken home, something like the Brian Bowen situation may happen, which will cause this type of scandal to continue to go on. So I think overall it's like hurting the sport a little bit.
So. Definitely. This is definitely going to hurt the sport. It's going to hurt Louisville, a program and a school with such great tradition, a great tradition of winning. I mean, the football program is lighting it up. You know, the men's basketball program, great baseball program as well. I mean, this is a school with great athletics. And I had this conversation with my fraternity brother last night. You know, we were just kind of sitting there talking about this story, and you know, he asked the question, Al, I mean, why is giving money to an assistant coach or a young basketball player, why is that? Because this isn't an NCAA investigation. This is you broke the law.
FBI.
This is FBI. This is a federal. This is the federal government coming after you. Why is that against the law? And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's a really good question. So I you know, doing some reading, you know, just about the investigation, the charges brought forward include violations of federal statutes on bribery and wire fraud, among other laws. So that is where the legality of what is being alleged here, that's where it becomes broken here. I mean, you talk about bribery and wire fraud. I mean, that's some pretty serious stuff. Any assistant coach found to be taking bribes while employed by an institution receiving federal funds could be liable to prosecution under federal law. So that is where things get really dicey. So that is why. And then with having that conversation, of course, that branched off into the age-old convo of whether or not college athletes should be paid. Now, for those that have been listening to Current Sports for quite some time, I used to be that guy that would sit on my soapbox and say, no, you're getting your tuition paid for, you're playing for a program. That's a privilege. It's a privilege to play for, especially a D1 program like an MSU, and to get your education paid for. That's until I really got a firsthand look at the schedules of some of these young men and women here on campus. You know, we've had multiple that have worked here on Current Sports, and I remember one of them was asleep in the green room on the couch because his schedule was just so bonkers. And when looking at the market and when evaluating that, heck, when people were at Moneyball this summer, a free event, but I would talk to just fans there. I mean, why are you here? Oh, I got to see Miles Bridges.
Mm-hmm.
I got to see Cassius Winston. You know, Izzo called him the next Magic. And you evaluate how people go to these games at the Breslin Center and are filling seats to see a Miles Bridges. They are essentially selling tickets for you. Don't they deserve a piece of that pie? And that's when things kind of change for me. You know, when I really got a firsthand look at the market and how these kids are putting in all this time and effort. A lot of them, you know, are not putting in that more time and effort when it comes to the classroom as well, but that's a whole nother story. So I really changed my perspective on that. And if you do decide to pay college athletes, would this totally eliminate this problem here? You know, paying a recruit so-and-so amount of money, probably not $100,000, right? But would it eliminate most of the situation? That's a question to kick around as well. If you decided to just pay every athlete, make it an even playing field. Everybody's getting a piece of some kind of pie. I don't know. Something to think about as well.
It's a good question. And I haven't really thought about that too much, but I don't think it would, because even if they do pay athletes, it will not be on a professional scale, safe to say. And
it would have to be based
time,
on it would have
it
to
would
be
performance.
Equal. It would have to be
either
equal across the board.
And that's why I've advocated for in the past just simply a minimum living wage for these athletes, because you do hear horror stories of Shabazz Napier being hungry at night, Arian Foster selling his mom's engagement ring and wedding ring in order to pay the bills and keep the lights on at night.
And then you had the Fab Five documentary where Chris Webber and Jalen Rose walk into an apparel shop and they see basically a trend that they set being marketed to the public in the black socks and the saggy shorts. They started that. They don't get a cut of it.
They don't profit from it. So, no, it's a good question. I don't think it would eliminate it totally, because even so, whoever has money still wants more money. It's that simple, and it's no different for college athletics. But like I said, you cannot blame the athletes whatsoever in these situations when you do hear horror stories of what happens if they don't receive that cash on the side. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, no, these sorts of scenarios are always so scary because they make you question the integrity of the entire system itself
right.
of athletics. Professional, too. There are salary caps when it comes to professional athletics.
Right.
But who's to say that they're not saying, hey, let's take you out for a few $100,000 meals?
Right.
Who's to say?
And that's the key as well, the integrity of the game. The integrity of the game, when you start to talk about an investigation like this and what has already come out, the integrity of the game has totally been compromised. And once you start going down that route, something needs to be done, and somebody needs to pay for it. Simple as that. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also weigh in via social media at facebook.com/currentsports. Even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR. _sports. Ben Grimes weighs in via Facebook and says that I wouldn't be surprised if Arizona and Syracuse and their coaches are involved as well. So just kind of kicking around, you know, his thoughts and predictions on, you know, who else could be involved in this. But we just have to wait and see, you know, what happens with this investigation. It's going to be a long next few months, I tell you that. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we hope to chat with Deshaun Tate, college basketball reporter and host at 92.9 The Game, CBS Radio, down in Atlanta. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. We have been chatting this entire hour about the breaking news concerning the federal investigation centered on men's college basketball. News broke not too long ago that now former Louisville men's basketball coach Rick Pitino was let go, as well as athletic director Tom Jurich. To wrap up this conversation, we want to invite a man who has been following this story quite closely. He's a dear friend of the show from right here in Mid-Michigan. His name is Deshaun Tate, college basketball reporter and host at 92.9 The Game, CBS Radio, down in Atlanta. Deshaun, you must be a very busy man today. How you doing?
Crazy busy, man. Crazy. But of course, you know, as always, I'm going to make time to come on to your show.
We appreciate you taking that time, Deshaun. First off, just immediate reaction from hearing this story. I just want to get your immediate take from what has transpired in the last 24 hours.
Well, my thing, obviously, I'm no legal expert, okay? We all know this. But some of my biggest questions, like, why is everyone so surprised by this? You know, is this really surprise, like, really, really surprising to anyone? Have we just been informed of what kind of we already knew? We had already been thinking or had already figured anyways. It wasn't shocking by any stretch of the imagination, but considering the fact that it was Rick Pitino, just being one person that's named, you know, with some of the allegations of some sexual contact with a young lady about 8 years ago at a restaurant, and then following that up, of course, he beats that case, and then coming up next is, you know, the prostitution and having strippers on recruiting visits, and that still being a pending case, this kind of surprised me. But at the end of the day, we all know that the name of the game is being able to land recruits, and that's what's keeping guys paid and keeping guys with jobs and able to feed their families. And I like to think that he's just in a situation where he had to do what he had to do. I don't like to think of that. I'd like to think he has a little bit more pull than that, but you never know the extent of what a guy will do in the case that he really wants to win really bad and catch up to Coach Cal and Coach K and some of the others.
So I guess I'll put it this way, because, yeah, as you just stated, Deshaun, nobody was surprised, I think, when we saw this news hit from the perspective that, hey, It's always been a rumor. It's always been on my mind, you know? I mean, when you see a top five recruit all of a sudden just decide to go to a school that wasn't even on his recruiting list, you know what I mean? But I should ask this. Were you surprised that this did come out? Because it's been years, and we haven't seen an investigation of this magnitude, a federal investigation that deals with recruits who are being paid money to come to a certain school. Did you ever think this would come out to the public? Did you ever think finally this would hit the fan?
Yes, right now, maybe no, but it doesn't surprise me that it's happened now, knowing that it's going to happen at some point. This isn't like we're sitting back trying to figure out if someone's going to break the 72-10 Bulls record, where that's something that would probably eventually happen, but we question whether we'd actually see it or not. It's actually something that I've kind of figured, I like to think most people figured, that they will live to see the day that someone gets caught by this. And realistically, I mean, life right now, unfortunately, is just all about cutting corners, though maybe not by choice, but we live in a microwave society, a new era, a new generation, a new breed of people, a new sheriff in town, where it's like, gimme, gimme, gimme right now. The pressure on these coaches to win is probably higher right now than it's ever been. How you eat and feed your family depends on if you land a kid at a school or not in recruiting. And that's just the life, especially as an assistant coach right now, where they're got a lot of pressure coming down on them from last year's coaches to win national championships, because there's a whole new crop of kids coming in. I mean, think about it. Guys like Coach Cal right now is probably licking his chops, rubbing his hands together like he got a steak in front of him with a napkin tucked inside of his collar. And I kind of go back to the O.J. Simpson reference, where it kind of reminds me, and this is something you got to be thinking if you're somebody like Coach Cal. You know, when O.J. said, I didn't do it, and he came out with the book, I didn't do it, but had I done it, I would have done it like this. Right now, Coach Cal's probably got to be sitting back laughing, because in the event that Coach Cal, which a lot of people probably think is along the same lines of doing such things, he's probably having that mentality like, let me show you guys how to do this, Ricky.
Well, I tell you what, though. I mean, do you think that, because, again, I'm one of those that think that maybe Cal's name will be named later on in the investigation, because a lot of names are going to come out. A lot of assistant coaches' names are going to come out. And a lot of people believe that when you look at the history of Kentucky with all of these one-and-done prospects, that he had to be doing something. You better believe the FBI, Deshaun, is going to be revealing that with this investigation. So I don't know if Coach Cal is happy right now. I think he's probably meeting with his team saying, all right, what did we do wrong? If we did anything wrong, and are we implicated in this investigation? But due to time, Deshaun, as far as the timeline goes, when it comes to this investigation, how long do you think this will take for it to be completed? Where are we at right now in relation to when it will be finalized?
I'm not sure how long it'll be before it's finalized. You've got a lot of people sweating right now, a lot of people that is not just sweating because of the FBI. I want people to understand that this is not just about NCAA infractions and investigations. This is the FBI. Mm-hmm. We're talking about federal cases and guys being sent to prison. So those things being considered, when you get that kind of sweat underneath, whether it be an assistant, whether it be booster, whatever the case may be, this is going to start trickling down to other guys who may not necessarily, you know, they may think they're getting off scot-free, but here comes the FBI with wired recordings and things of that nature,
that
is potentially going to get other guys in trouble, on top of guys that feel like, oh, the heat's coming down on me, I'm going to drag some people along with me. I think it's going to be quite a while before this entire thing is solved and resolved. But it won't surprise me if going into the season and then throughout the season, finishing the season all the way up through the off season next summer, that we end up finding out more pieces to the puzzle and more layers are going to come off of that onion.
Deshaun, we got 3 minutes left, but I want to ask this. Where do you start when it comes to cleaning up the recruiting process in men's college basketball? Where do you begin?
I think it's tough. Everybody's talking about you got to pay these kids, but at the end of the day, this is about who has the biggest bag. I mean, if you're talking about, just for an example, I'm just throwing a number out there, pay them $5,000 a semester or $5,000 a season or whatever the case may be, at the end of the day, there's still going to be some guys saying, hey, come over to us, we'll give you $25,000. Hey, come over to us, we'll give you $35,000, $45,000, $50,000.
So you got to make it even across the board, right? Based on look at cost of attendance, find the median, and just make it across the board, right?
You like to think so, but at the end of the day, I mean, then you're going to have to start talking about paying other student athletes, volleyball programs. I mean, think about it. Does the UConn girls basketball team feel like they deserve with everything that they come in? Heck, they probably bring in more revenue than the men's team and a lot of men's teams in Division I for that matter. So at the end of the day, I do think ultimately this is going to begin the process, if not nothing else, to ending the one-and-done rule. And on top of that, bringing the hammer down and sharpening up a whole lot of loose edges and ends in terms of AAU basketball, for sure.
Deshaun Tate, college basketball reporter and host at 92.9 The Game, CBS Radio down in Atlanta. Deshaun, thank you so much for your time. Always good chatting with you.
Al Martin, same here. Thanks.
All right. Well, we have, what, a minute, 2 minutes left, Isaac. I really wanted – it's so crazy because we're both just getting back. And what a weekend to do it, right? I mean, MSU plays Notre Dame in a night game, and they lose and get blown out. And we're going to definitely touch on that on tomorrow's Current Sports. And then you had the Lions losing by like a foot, right, against, you know, the Atlanta Falcons. I was keeping up with that. I couldn't watch it out in Jamaica because my Wi-Fi plan ain't set up like that, all right? my cell phone plan ain't set up like that. But I saw it, you know, when I got back, and I saw the highlights. We'll touch on that. Then also, President Donald Trump and what is happening in the NFL right now. Trump deciding to sound off on the national anthem protest. He had some very strong words, all of which we'll get to on tomorrow's show. We also plan on inviting to our airwaves Otis Wiley, former MSU linebacker. We'll have Alan Gant on the show in the next 2 days as well to talk about the University of Michigan football program. And James Moore of the swap meet. I don't know if you guys saw, but James Moore's feature was done, very well written by Cody Tucker, and he revealed a lot in that feature. We'll have James a part of our airwaves to talk about that piece and so much more. But in the meantime, thank you so much to all of you who allowed us to be a part of your Wednesday afternoon. Much thanks to Casey Harrison, Jamal Tyler, engineer Isaac Constance, as well as, of course, Deshaun Tate, of college basketball reporter and host down in Atlanta for CBS Radio. Back at it, same time, same place tomorrow, folks. Take care and be easy, people.